Will this episode finally be our in-depth dissection of Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
No.
No, it really won't. We're going to talk about something weird like musicals. Hello and welcome to the Nothing Files, coming to you somewhat live from whatever existential crisis you find yourself in.
We're not live.
Well, we recorded it live.
Okay.
I'm alive. I think that you're alive.
Some days more than others.
And from, oh my God, it's so fucking hot in Nevada. We're reaching out to hear you listen to us. How cool is that?
So cool.
It's so fucking hot.
Yeah, it's hot enough today. It's over 100 degrees.
It's April.
It's April 20th something. End of April.
Every day is exactly the same.
Hot. Don't remind me. It's hot enough today that our water, even when it's all the way, like turned all the way just cold, is still
like steeping.
Yeah, it's still lukewarm. I could make a uncomfortably cool, but like warm cup of tea with it.
So from our quarantine to your quarantine, welcome to this episode of the Nothing Files. And as we might have teased in the nothing around here is cold. So let's say pretty fucking warm open. We got a fan submission.
We did. Yeah, this was a request from months ago. We were still in Iowa.
Let's be clear. Time means nothing. We're all caught in an existential void from which we may never escape. So enjoy our dulcet tones and just give in to the inevitability of what life is now.
We rented Cats 2019.
Oh, God. So this whole Cats phenomenon thing, I've been peripherally aware of for the majority of my life. I even remember old Saturday Night Live skits referencing Cats is like this kind of de facto musical, yeah. But never having any interest in it, I didn't engage. And within the last year or so, they turned the Broadway Cats into a major motion picture Cats. And everyone said, holy fuck, what a goddamn train wreck nightmare. And Bria said, well, I'll let you say what you said.
But I liked the original.
You loved the original.
I did.
And you were excited to see what they did with it.
And was ultimately very disappointed.
I was so ambivalent. I didn't care. But we broke down, given our own home quarantine, and said, you know, for literally only the benefit of you, our seven listeners, we were going to rent Cats, the 2019 fucking Hollywood production.
Theatrical release.
And watch this thing. And we did. And we'll come back to that. I want to circle around. And I started to question myself, do I intrinsically hate musicals? So then we went on another 3-movie binge.
We went on a journey.
We watched Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Cannibal, the musical. These would be the two creative forces that would, about a year or two after this movie was released, make South Park. Then we watched Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, mm-hmm. starring Johnny Depp from Tim Burton. And then we rounded it out with Repo, the Genetic Opera, which if goths had a musical since, one could say Sweeney Todd or Nightmare Before Christmas. This is probably the biggest one since the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
And it sparked some debate. It sparked some discussion. And I will say intrinsically that I equally hate and don't hate musicals. I don't want to. Cats will be the big reveal. We'll get into that. Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber, Fleet Street. Boy, I could take a leave of that movie. If it's on, maybe I'll watch it. I like the aesthetic. I like Helena Bonham Carter. For the most part, I like Johnny Depp. I like the visual style.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing about it. I don't find myself singing songs from Sweeney Todd. Whereas Nightmare Before Christmas, I'll break into that shit occasionally. Something we haven't referenced at this point, one of my favorite musicals of all time, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Once More with Feeling, I think is a fantastic musical in a show that isn't traditionally that style by any means. And Cannibal the Musical is fun. I mean, Shpadoinkle. You know, my heart's as full as a baked potato. It's dumb, but it stays with you. And that may be circling back to where I kind of found some of my issues with Cats. Now, over the last couple of days since we've watched that, you've sort of engaged in some of the Cat songs.
Yeah, I get them stuck in my head easy. I know them. Like, now, I've known them for the majority of my life.
I think this would be a great point to give your background with Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
Cats. I have watched that movie since I was, like, since I can remember, basically. I started watching it when I was very, very
young. Now, to be fair, it wasn't a movie back then. You had a DVD of the Broadway
show. Okay, yeah,
production.
Touche. I've got a recreation of the Broadway show. It wasn't for a live audience, but it was the show that they put on for the live audience.
And that is your...
And that's, yeah.
Base exposure.
Technically, in the 90s, I had a VHS copy, not a DVD copy. But now I have the DVD.
Retro!
All right. Now I've got the DVD version of... I don't know what year that came out.
So what about that not for stage, somewhat theatrical for home consumption representation drew you in? What gives you that warm fuzzy of nostalgia?
So I started watching it when I was young enough that, like, I hadn't started dance yet. I was very, very little, like, just learning how to write and learning letters and stuff like that.
Like 13?
Yeah. 13, 14, you know.
Yeah. Average age.
I just started walking.
Donald Trump's America.
So, you know, like, the first stories I'd write when I was a kid were based around these cat characters. And I was really enamored with the dancing in the movie because I wanted to be a dancer, and then thus would go on to become a dancer through my youth and into my adulthood. But I remember as a kid, like, trying to recreate the dances and learning the choreography in my living room. And it's just catchy music. It's nonsensical. You know, it's just cats putting on a performance for their cat leader so they can die.
Well, it's very Jellicle.
It's incredibly Jellicle. But I mean, like, I own the poetry book that it's based off of, by T.S. Eliot, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. It's illustrated by Edward Gorey, who is one of my favorite illustrators.
I can get behind that.
It's pretty cool. But yeah, it was always just like something I really enjoyed as a kid. And I never understood, like, I had friends growing up that were like, why the fuck do you like this musical? And I never understood why nobody else enjoyed it like I did until I'm an adult going back and watching it. I'm like, it makes no sense. I get me as a 15 or 16 year old kid being like, yeah, no, this thing is great. And other people are like, no, it's not. It's not.
So originally the idea we were going to do for this episode was we were going to watch Bria's DVD of the Cats play and then follow that up with the theatrical release of it. And because this has been something that had been requested for months, and we keep literally almost every episode to this point has been this episode. But for one reason or another, we demurred from watching either of them till finally self-isolation and everything. I said, fuck it. We're going to watch the goddamn movie. And something in my lizard brain said, I don't need the backstory. A movie should be able to stand on its own. If I can't see something devoid of any other context, then how does it hold up? So we decided that we would then not watch the original stage production release, and we would just watch the movie. So that is my background coming into this. Whereas Bria is a teabag that for her entire life has been deeply steeped.
I have been steeped in this musical.
Yeah, Bria is a rich and dense Earl Grey of Cats. I am completely removed. I don't understand anything of this universe. I have no backstory. One of the few, is Lion King a musical?
It's a Broadway musical, yeah.
So, a quick caveat, I'd never seen Lion King, the animated movie, the Disney film.
Yeah.
Because,
You were quote I'm unquote, old enough. Old.
Well, yeah. Quote, I don't know. I was
adults like
not
that
a
movie.
Fucking child when that movie came out.
But adults like that movie.
What adults?
I don't know.
Adults that grew up with it?
Adults like Disney movies. That's okay. Anyway,
within my paradigm, it wasn't something I was exposed to as a child because it didn't exist. And by the time it came out, I was of an age where I wasn't seeking out animated film. I was working at a Dutch chocolate company where the owner said, "Boy, gee willikers, I'm a gay Dutch guy. And the Lion King."
I didn't realize that the Dutch used "Boy, gee willikers."
Boy, gee willikers came
That's just straight out of Dutch
traditional. Book. Yeah. Okay. Like Schaveny, which is my terrible impression of Dutch or tot ziens. He said, "Boy, this is real theater. Real culture is coming here. Would you like to go with me and a group of people to this Lion King Broadway play?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't care. That sounds great. I've heard fantastic things. Probably won a Tony, whatever the fuck that is. I'm really excited about this. Sounds great." Not a big live theater guy right here. And from what I've heard, if you've seen the movie, fantastic.
It's spot on, man. It's beautiful.
Having never seen the movie, boy, do they not tell you what the fuck is going on. I sat there for like 2.5-3 hours just being like, this is gorgeous. I could not tell you a single narrative thread. There are people that are much more in shape, athletic, aerobic than myself, contorting themselves into animals that are telling a story. But really, other than like, I don't have a fucking clue. Part of it seemed kind of racist, if I'm being honest. It was not people from the countries doing what those people from the country should have done.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I cast no aspersions. It was really fucking confusing. And maybe that kind of turned me off live theater.
Oh, man, it was great. I really enjoyed when I got to see it.
But then we watched this current Cats theatrical release. And what do you even say about it? Maybe I'm going to let you go first. Being the Cats expert of the Nothing Files, I would like to hear your in-depth analytical analysis of how in the progression of your life where Cats has been such this constant thing that you knew I identify with to then watching this movie. What is your take on it?
So I've made this parallel before. The original Cats movie to me is similar.
Play.
The original Cats musical, technically it's a musical. It holds up as an adult, like similarly to the movie Mask. When I was a kid with Jim Carrey. When I was a kid,
The Mask.
The Mask.
Not yes. Eric Stoltz Mask.
Yes, The Mask with Jim Carrey. When I was a kid, I loved that movie. It was real zany. You know, he puts on this mask and he becomes this wacky green guy that can do all sorts of weird shit.
Yeah, he's like the kind of this 1920s band leader,
yeah.
Kinda, you know, swinger.
Yeah, super hilarious. And as a kid, I really enjoyed it. And as an adult, I was telling a friend about it and was like, yeah, no, it's hilarious. It's going to be great. Let's watch it. And we put it on and it was awful. You know, like it didn't hold up. It wasn't nearly as funny as I remembered it being. For me, Cats is like that. I'm not going to defend that it's good. I know most people don't. Most people either love it or hate it. It's like this been this really weird argument in the musical theater community since it came out. I'm not going to say that you're a bad person for not thinking it's good. I personally enjoy it, and I have since I was very little. That being said, I know it well enough, even though I haven't seen it for years and years and years and years. Like, I literally haven't put the DVD in the player for a very long time.
You're bathed in the woolen cats. You don't need to.
I could put it on and you could mute it and I could close my eyes and I could come back into the room like a half an hour later and I could basically tell you what's going on. Like, it, sing you the words that they're singing. Like, I know it that well. That being said, I think there was a lot of potential with the movie going in. Like, I had a lot of hope when they had originally announced it prior to any news coming out about how bad it was. Because the costuming, like, even back in the, when was that musical? When is?
1814.
I don't know what the year on that is, but it was long enough ago. There's like one CGI scene in that DVD. Oh, and it's bad. The costumery was just gorgeous. I think that it was a lot of fun and everyone's really unique in like the costume that they have, and the choreography was great. And I think that for me is really what made the musical what it was. And they took all of that away and they turned it into these crazy looking CGI nightmare. I can't even quantify them as cats because they outside of having ears and tails.
Let's be sensitive to our potential furry listener base out there. they're not nightmares to everyone. But yeah, no, real shit CGI.
Oh my God, the CGI. Real shit. Just awful.
Made me long for Jar Jar Binks, to be honest with you.
For real. Bad CGI, really incongruent, like, set pieces, and bad choreography. Like I said, it was really, for me, the choreography that really made the whole movie. And we talked about when we were watching it, like, it just was out of place. It wasn't good. And Victoria, the main character, like, she was obviously a trained dancer and she stood out above the rest because she obviously was good at what she was doing. And there were a couple other characters in there that, like, if you could point them out, you could be like, OK, that guy's been in a musical. That guy knows how to dance, you know. But overall, I like the performance was bad. The graphics were bad. The songs, for the most part, had remained the same. And based in the, I haven't done any research. I probably should have. The credits said that Andrew Lloyd Webber.
People don't tune into this for research.
I know.
This is thoughts on opinions.
Andrew Lloyd Webber was part of the credits as, like, he was credited for the music. And I was curious, and again, didn't look into it, if he came back to, like, reprise his role in making the music for this and helped rewrite the music for it, or if they just credited him with the rights because he wrote the original music. And it was very heavily based off of the original soundtrack, but and like the original score, but obviously changed for who fucking knows what reason. Like, there, for the most part, the songs remained the same. There was one whole song that was entirely written differently, and that made me really angry. But that's just from a big fan's point of view. So
you would say, as a fan of the theatrical Broadway production yeah, version of Cats, that this did not scratch that itch?
Oh, not at all. You know what would have made it scratch that itch, though? CGI buttholes.
Well, I'm going to go with a hard no on that.
It's funny, if you pay attention, you can really tell the angles in which they placed the cat body, so you can just see that butthole if they hadn't taken it out.
Well, if you've ever owned a cat, 90% of it is turning his
butthole. Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, if you wanted to make a movie that was just cats, it would really be like watching a cat knock your shit off a counter and staring at his butthole.
Yeah.
And arguably, I might have enjoyed that more because I've owned cats.
Yeah, cats are cute.
So now,
CGI people,
from
cats
my
are
standpoint,
please,
only having this peripheral idea that Cats was this weird sort of like insider joke that was theater or maybe not, that I did not give a fuck about, but they're making this huge, large budget movie about, I thought to myself, well, I'm certainly never going to see that. But here we find ourselves trapped within our own four walls, just relentlessly. Okay, fuck it. How bad could it be? And I hasten to say this. Is it that bad? Yes. Is it that bad? No.
Yeah, what did it get? Like 2.5 out of 10 stars on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's certified shit.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that to an extent. Now, I go into this with trepidation, knowing that everything that might make Cats appealing to someone does not appeal to me. I don't think that I'm necessarily a huge fan of musicals. And like Bria talked about, all the dancing, all the choreography. Okay, I'd still probably rather watch a Bruce Lee movie or Jackie Chan, like some really well choreographed fight scenes, because I've never found the desire to try and contort my body that way. I can't relate. And really, as Bria mentioned, the CGI, I think in a lot of ways, takes away from the choreography. Areas that could be very beautiful expressions of human movement come off as kind of jilted and disjointed. But beyond the vast technical failings that this movie has, I bring myself to think, is this a good movie or not? And that's where I find my impasse. Because ostensibly, no. But I'm not mad at it. I think of movies, a great example is Suicide Squad. Like, I watched that film and I was mad at the end of it. This is a bad movie. You wasted my fucking time. Cats is kind of a rice cake. It, should you need to pass some time, will allow you to do so. You will take nothing away from it. It's some puffed, crunchy substance that will get you through the next couple hours that you will then not return from changed in any way. You think of the average structure of a movie, like your three act experience with character development and people changing and conflict and resolution. And this eschews all of that. Two thirds, if not three fourths of the film are just cats singing songs to each other, introducing characters.
That's the whole point.
Characters that have nothing to do with the story, if there even is one. And if you're not, whenever quarantine's over or whatever, you're just not going up to your friend and putting a hand on your shoulder or on their shoulder and saying, McCavity, and then pretending to disappear. You're really missing out on some fun. There is no narrative thread. It makes no sense. There's these Jellicle cats who do Jellicle things, and they're Jellicle cats for Jellicle reasons. And you're like, well, I'm brainwashed. All right, fucking give me the Kool-Aid. I will gladly poison myself. And then you're to believe that there's just like these cats, and they alternate sizes depending on the set or circumstance. It doesn't matter. Everything has human faces. Everything is kind of a nightmare. But go along for the ride, because nothing really seems to have consequence. Mm-hmm. And their whole desire is for old Deuteronomy, fucking this sad old fucking cat, to
Dame
say,
Judi Dench.
Oh, and God bless Dame Judi Dench. But to then say, you can go die and be reborn. All right. And McCavity, the most evil cat that would ever cat, who should be the next fucking James Bond, but for somehow is fucking McCavity in this goddamn movie, does nothing of consequence, but wants to be the one that's redeemed. And then the saddest cat with the saddest story gets to die. Thank God. If only all of us at the end of this movie were so lucky after this just fucking nightmare, we were all allowed the sweet release of death. Thank you. I mean, if Dr. Jack Kevorkian had designed this film as the ease of self-suicide, I could get behind it more. But there is fucking nothing. From the beginning of the film, when Victoria is just abandoned by her owner, because you don't fucking know why, but she's dumped out. And then all the other cats are like, we don't like other cats. But then we're like, well, you're obviously a dancer and in pretty good shape. How
you're
are you doing?
Pretty hot.
All of us would like to fuck you. And maybe some of us will sing into your toes in a sexual manner, which is strange. She progresses as this sort of main character that I don't fucking care about and goes on these adventures that I don't fucking care about. And then Victoria, the saddest cat, who throughout the entire movie will have snot running out of her nose into her mouth.
No. Grisabella.
Oh, Grisabella?
Yeah, that's the sad
cat. Who fucking cares? Snot cat will have snot running out of her nose into her mouth to prove that she is the saddest cat until Dame Judi Dench says, "You are now granted the sweet release of death. Get up into Death Starship and float off to nowhere." And then McCavity goes, "McCavity." And everyone's like, "Fuck you." And nothing meant anything. And throughout this entire movie, things might have happened after that. And I think they did, but I can't fucking remember because it's a rice cake. Throughout the course of this film, I kept thinking, like, am I angry? Am I angry that I'm consuming this right now? And there was a bit of morbid curiosity. You know, there's a bit of like, well, I am watching the bodies strewn across the tracks. I'm seeing the blood and viscera. Like, I am bearing witness to the absolution of entertainment that this film is. But I came out the other side of it, and I kind of realized I felt nothing. I didn't feel anger. I didn't feel antipathy. Maybe I felt some regret. But in general, I felt nothing. And that's what clued me into the beauty of this movie. So many auteurs throughout the years have tried to create true nihilism. Look at some of the things Werner Herzog or David Lynch, David Fincher. You know, the films they've created flirt with the ideas of nihilism. And I truly think that Cats is the best expression of nihilism. It is so much money thrown at just a film.
Thrown into a hole.
But not responsibly. You don't look at it like something like Jurassic Park. When you go back to 1996, whenever the original Jurassic Park came out, when CGI was in its infancy, and you see what they did with what they had, and you think, oh my God. What have they created? You go back to fucking 1977, 1978 with the original Star Wars. Them coming up with new ways to take like old models of battleships and that and creative new camera angles and create the masterpiece that they did. They had so much money and it still sucked. It's almost like they reached a point of understanding, like, we don't care. We've gone this far. If only we would have spent another like 18 hours of rendering, this might look a little better. But like, you know what? No. Go to the Uncanny Valley and stop there.
Uncally Vanny.
Uncally Vanny. Oh, that's that's up by Van Nuys. Yeah. Go to where it's almost perfect, but don't make it perfect. Because intrinsically, this is not a perfect work. This is entropy. This is nihilism. This is fucking nothing. This is an hour and 48 minutes or whatever of your time. We will give you nothing and you will take nothing from it. And through this, we will sacrifice funds that could feed families right now. Money that could make a real change in the world.
Yeah, especially
has been
right
sacrificed
now.
On the altar of whatever the fuck this is. But we will impact you so minutely that you will walk away unscathed. And it brings me to the concept back in, I think, the 1700s, the French came up with this idea of art for art's sake. What is art? And really, what the fuck is art? Like, does your town have a local sculpture garden? Does it have a museum? Let's look at a Monet. Like, obviously, sunflowers would be a good example. But think of, like, the Dutch masters, what Van Gogh did. What did Michelangelo do? Sculpture, painting, it's beautiful. But then look at pop art. I fucking love pop art. Mm-hmm. Andy Warhol painting objects that existed within popular culture. And a lot of times just silkscreening them. And then that's art. And yeah, it fucking is. And one of my favorite art exhibits of all time, and I'm too young to have seen this, but back in the late 1970s, Jean-Michel Basquiat would team up with Andy Warhol. And Basquiat, this brilliant street pop art painter, would spend hours and hours creating this beautiful art piece on this canvas. And when he was done, Andy Warhol would come in and whitewash it. And then they'd both sign it. Because it wasn't about the art. It was about the art that was. And if you weren't there, you didn't see the art that was. Even think of bands like the Flaming Lips when they did their experience, where they would bring fans to the stage and give each of them a different boombox and point them at different times to turn it up or turn it down, because no show would be the same. The audience was part of the creation of art. So what is art? Who among us to say is this is high art, this is low art, this isn't art whatsoever? The guy that taped a banana to the wall.
Yeah.
And then another guy came in and ate it. Is he part of the art? You're fucking A right he is. Like, Metallica's worked with artists that paint with their own blood, feces, and semen. Is it art? I don't know. Would you pay for it? It all comes down. It's the great swindle. It's the artist statement. You can put up a blank canvas and stand there and say, well, I don't know. I mean, I think white's pretty. And like, it's kind of how I feel inside, so there's nothing there. Well, fuck you. That's not getting into the Louvre. That's not getting into your local gallery. That's nothing. But you have the look, you have the attitude, and you say, well, as we look at art in its study of substance of the human condition, which is truly what art is, as we all know, then I have presented here to you something that is truly a snapshot of the current human existence. It is banal. It is devoid. It lacks structure and substance. And so yet it is the best snapshot, the best representation of who we are as a people. And I stand here burning and scathing in judgment of you all. And therefore, this is a $30,000 piece. And that motherfucker's walking home with $30,000 in their pocket. It's the presentation. So what the fuck is art? Is the Cats movie art? Is it a symbol of bloat, flatulence, overproduction, over ego in Hollywood? Or is it arguably the most of our times film that's been produced in the last 10 years? And I leave that question to you, and it's how you choose to look at it. You give me a decent story, a little bit of character arc, a little bit of drama, I'm probably on board. But is that because I'm of the lower class that just needs to be spoon-fed a drama? Or do you give me a high piece of art where nothing fucking matters? None of it has consequence, really. It's stupid. It's contrived. And maybe it's above me. This might be the best movie that's been released in 20 years. Or it literally might be the worst fucking thing produced. That one's on you guys. So tell us in the comments, like, how deep's your existential crisis? Like, how much have you tried to convince yourself that because you spent some of your precious time watching this fucking piece of shit, that you have to somehow justify that it's art and you're not just a sad, lonely person baking to death in the desert, waiting for the world to end and trying to make things seem more than they are?
Hey, we've done other exciting things this week besides watching the world's worst movie.
We have?
Question mark?
We really have. We might have talked about it before. I got Final Fantasy VII, the remake, obviously. I've been enjoying it. I will say I'm only about 25 or so hours into it, and supposedly there's about 40 hours to this first chapter. And it kind of seems up in the air how many chapters there are going to be. It might be two, and it might be seven. Final Fantasy VII, seven chapters. Ha ha, I get the joke. But, you know, if you go with three, the original game had three discs, so there's some poetry in that. Who the fuck knows? It is much more flushed out than the original game, which I have been enjoying. But I do find myself, as someone that played Final Fantasy VII when it came out, and as I've probably mentioned ad nauseum before, one of the few games that I've gone to completion with, I do miss the kind of blocky graphics. I do miss the freedom. I miss being able to mature materia and split it off, build it amongst my party, and that kind of freedom of knowing that a game will take as much as you can give it. Do you want to dump 100 hours into grinding to get a golden chocobo, to beat emerald and ruby weapons, to mature all your materia, to basically face down a god by becoming a god in the game? Yeah, I do kind of miss that. And part of me, I think it's like $27 or something like that. You can get the original version of Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation. Maybe I'll do that.
We don't have jobs.
Fuck. Yeah. No, I mean, my life is just as much of a void as the Cats movie. So who am I to judge? But the main thing we've been dumping our time into, and I think that a lot of you have been too, fuck, we're crossing animals. Mm-hmm. And we had our Animal Crossing probably greatest achievement yesterday.
We beat the game.
We had KK Slider come and play a stupid concert where he goes, in our town square, and everyone pretends like that's a fucking song. KK Slider, what's his name? KK Slider, is that
yeah,
it?
That's right.
A mumble rapper. I had no idea.
But like, his talents span across genres:
ska, reggae, electronica, communist music. Somehow,
yeah.
Goth truly, music, in our tour,
surf, yeah, pop, yeah.
No, we got KK Slider weeks ago. Come on, who the fuck you think? Yeah,
seriously, we've been playing this since the day it came out.
You had a very unique plant.
I had my Lily of the Valley show up today.
That means we're 5-star. Bah, 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 you fuckers, bow down. We Bria has the island because if you have a Switch and two people play off of it, only one of them can be
the first one that sets up the game.
They're the resident representative. But then I kind of showed up on Bria's island. I continue to kind of trash it. I would say I'm the kind of drunk stepdad of the island. Mm. I like to just arbitrarily place things, whether that makes sense or not. I have a lot of barbed wire and like spiked wooden fencing around my house.
Hit your ring toss from when you come home too drunk.
Yeah, I like to play games with myself when I'm drunk. I got a hula girl in one of the rooms. I'm actually kind of like modeling it off Elvis's jungle room. Mm. I'm kind of making my own jungle room in the back. Bria has the full advancements of her house, all four rooms plus the
attic and basement.
I just got my third room, and I'm cool with it. I got some pinball machines. I got a wall that I may be, I don't know, doing some genetic experiments that might be against the Geneva Convention. But don't worry. It's not your concern. But
lots
through all that,
aquariums that are probably too small for their actual
Skinwalker,
size.
Yeah. Which is the name of our island. We named our island Skinwalker. It's a 5-star island, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been really exciting around our household. We've been
the best thing that we've done the entire quarantine.
It's been pretty rough.
We've both lost jobs and made some good food, but fuck,
we have a
5-star island on Animal Crossing and a streak of played days. We haven't missed a fucking day yet, so at least I haven't.
We got the art guy showing up trying to sell some bogus art. You know what? His first piece, I saw through it. I bought the right art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went to art school for a few years before I got kicked out. So I feel like I'm uniquely skilled for Animal Crossing. And yeah, it's been honestly, a lot of our days are really spent in the wonder environment that is our created island utopia.
Yeah.
Especially
now that it's over 100 degrees outside.
And you feel that even within your own island world, you kind of feel the walls crashing in around you. Mm. And I like to think of it as our existential crisis within our own existential crisis.
Yeah.
It's where we go to escape in panic from the panic of our everyday lives. So that's pleasant. Oh, shit. I started watching Picard.
Yeah.
I think we might have talked about previously. We started watching Star Trek Discovery. I'm trying to be cool with it. There's a little bit of retconning going on, especially when it comes to the whole Sarek Spock family that I think's a little different. But we've been pushing through it. But boy, there is one thing that Bria just is intrinsically sensitive to. And that's sad old man.
Yeah, I can't watch Picard because everybody keeps bullying Jean-Luc Picard and it's making me way too sad.
I am loving it because it takes place in the future. There is no retconning we have to worry about. Seven of Nine just showed up. Jerry Ryan, obviously, I really liked in that Seven of Nine role from Star Trek, whatever the fuck one she was in. Well, I can't think of it now, with Janeway.
You're asking the wrong friend.
Star Trek Voyager. Yeah, really, really been digging what they're doing with that show. So that's been fun. CBS All Access, I think probably by the time this goes live, it's done. But they were giving over a free month if you used code GIFT. And as a big Star Trek fan, I was really hoping to kind of burn through everything, like do the original series, then Next Gen, Voyager, or I'm sorry, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, then get into Enterprise, then Discovery and Picard. Given the amount of time that we're dumping into Animal Crossing, I don't know that I'll get to relive all those things. But it has been a Star Trek story that I've been enjoying. That said, it is very much more of a J.J. Abrams style Star Wars Star Trek story. Once again, and I think very much in the vein of Star Trek Nemesis, they're going up against a corrupt and infected Starfleet. I get how easy that is to continue to be a villain, but like at a certain point, you're like, holy fuck, who has oversight of Starfleet? But it's fun. It's not the Enterprise. It's Jean-Luc Picard setting out with his band of ne'er-do-wells to try and do the right thing. And I dig that. I think it's telling a big story in a small scale. And I've found it exceptionally entertaining. Other than that, here and there, you know, we're trying to keep up with our Game Grumps. We're trying to keep up with the Try Guys. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep up with Rhett and Link and Good Mythical Morning. All of the YouTube content that we enjoy, of course. Funhouse, always one of my favorite game-based content creators. Trying to keep up with them.
Been cooking a lot. I mean, obviously, I think we've only ordered food out once. So we blacked out in a Korean grocery store the other day getting our groceries.
Getting big with it. I mean, there's a lot of fun out there. Like, this is, if you can afford to do it, a great time to just kind of expand the boundaries. You know, how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the world enjoy one style of cuisine? Maybe try it out.
Yeah.
Play around with it. I mean, we've made pizza, we've made bulgogi, we've made banchan, we've made tacos.
We made Korean Philly cheesesteaks with rice buns the other day.
Yeah. See what you got and think, what's the dumbest thing I could do with this? And then just go all in, you know? Who knows what the other side of this is? We take it a day at a time, and you got to make your own fun. It's too easy to succumb to the doldrums of I'm stuck inside every day. So what have you done to not be inside in your mind? You know, read a book, try and learn a language. Learn a new fucking cooking style. Shit. Bake something.
Yeah. Yeah. We've
got a sourdough starter going. Baking
a lot. I finished a book this week for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. What'd you read?
I can't remember. No, I'm just kidding. Clive Barker's The Scarlet Gospels.
That's a continuation of the Hellraiser mythos, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely in that universe. I don't know that it's necessarily a continuation from the movies, but I mean, it features Pinhead.
Endgame demon.
It features Pinhead as one of the main characters. And I've been reading it for over a year. So, yeah, I mean, it was. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Well, and you're almost done with another book.
Yeah, I'm almost done with Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett. That was a favorite of mine. I gave that to you, didn't I?
You did. Yeah, you gave me that 5 years ago and I immediately started reading it and have been reading it ever since.
That's commitment, folks.
Yeah, it is. So I've got less than 100 pages left in that. I just really got away from reading for a while. And the last 4 years, the only reading I really ever did was while I was working, like during my down periods. for my downtime. So yeah, it's been nice being able to just kind of like unplug and read. And
yeah, I mean, again, maybe that's not normally in your lexicon, and it's easy to make excuses in the real world of why you don't have time. A lot of us right now probably have time. Even if you worked a busy job before and still do, you don't have going to shows or going out to bars or, you know, the other things that might have kept us from engaging in these hobbies. So, yeah, like fucking paint something, read something. I've had the Planetary Omnibus for probably 3 years, I think.
At least.
And I just started that today. I'm only about 180 pages or something into it. And it still makes no sense. It's a Warren Ellis comic through DC. And boy, it deals with a lot of heady topics. And basically every episode or every issue of it just opens that door a bit farther without giving you a whole lot of information. But it's been fun. It's been something I've been holding on to for a while and really helped me pass the time this afternoon. Anything else we want to touch on this one?
There's not really a whole lot going on in our lives outside of that.
No, you know, we're living here in the entertainment capital of the world where it's 1,050,000,000 degrees outside. Just trying to stay alive and make our own fun.
Yeah.
And that's really all anyone can be doing right now, regardless of your outside temperature. Remember, we are all here for one another. It can seem dark. It can seem weird. But every day that you sacrifice, you save somebody. So keep up the good fight. Find things to distract yourself. Find things to expand your mind, your experience. The worst thing in the world you can do is say, I'm right. I know what's going on. Because you fucking don't. Because no one does.
Yeah.
Life is a constant learning journey. Trust experts. Don't trust your boredom. Don't give in to, oh, well, you know, I can go to the park today. Just sit it out. We have the entirety of the human experience at our fingertips. You're listening to this, you have the internet. That is, man, are you a Misfits fan? Have you read about them? Plenty of online articles, good Wikipedia page. Spend some time with that. What about the Ramones? What about the fucking Clash? What about the Pogues? Give me a dissertation. Give me a conversation Henry Rollins would like to have. I'm into that. And there are so many people opening up more and more resources for cheap or for free. Don't be bored with yourself. Better yourself. And we can all come out of this a better, stronger species. Fuck up a lot more interesting conversations. So that's your homework. Get good at conversations. Have something to fucking say. And thanks for tuning in. If you want to find us on social media, fuck, maybe you want to visit our island. I know on my Instagram, and I'm nothing.files, weird, you can find my personal friend code for Nintendo Switch. If you want to see the cultivated internet world that Bria creates.
you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Raxby, R-A-X-B-I-I. Yeah, I don't know that my friend code is easily available, but shit, if you say that we sent you, I'll give it to you. Fuck. If we're not already friends.
And we're, know? Again, we're the same island.
Yeah.
So even though you have to interact with Danger Boy rather than Raxby, you know, you get to see the same just altruistic failure of design that somehow 5 stars.
Yeah, make sure, I know I mentioned this last week, like if you're in a position where you can help others, check your local virtual tip jar. There are people that are hurting that can't get unemployment or, you know, do get unemployment. It's not enough to pay their bills. Reach out to a friend, make sure they're doing okay. Write some snail mail. Wash your fucking hands. If you're feeling generous, you can sponsor us. We have a sponsor page through anchor.fm/thenothingfiles. You can find all of our stuff on thenothingfiles.com or through our anchor page. Most importantly, just take care of each other. I know there's not a lot of you out there, but you know, if the 10 of you that listen to this every week reach out to 10 people, Maybe they'll reach out to 10 more. And
if you each gave us $10,000, we could do this for a long time.
We do appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much. We are alone and you are too. But thank you for being alone together with us. We look forward to talking to you in the next one. And I really hope that it's not about something just as existentially distilling as cats.